The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and this is the TWBC podcast. Great to have you on board once again. And continuing on the series that we started off earlier on in the season, on tour with Freddie Winter, and sitting next to me right now here at Kaiaphas Water Ski Resort over in Western Peloponnesia in Greece, getting ready for the Kaiaphas battle, is Freddie Winter himself. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, Tony. It's actually, I was just sitting here thinking it's been quite a while since we sat down together. It feels like a lot's
happened.
Over
a month, yeah.
Yeah, and not to mention we've had three events. It was odd not to have Tony Lightfoot at those events. So good to have you with us on the tour again.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So let's go through some of those events just to get caught up, okay? The first event that... That you had in Europe at about the same time that I was doing the U21s over in Mexico. You were doing the Botas, right?
Yeah, so that was, I mean, God, it feels like a long time ago, but it was only 10 days ago or so. It was, here we are on Thursday. It was Saturday, Sunday of the 24th and 25th of June. So really not long ago.
Indeed. So how'd you get on in Botas?
Well, I mean, I was really happy I won the thing, which was good. My first win since Mastercraft Pro last September. And it was certainly an eventful day. I had food poisoning for the Sunday.
Ugh.
I felt horrific, but just managed to kind of get through the first couple of rounds. And then me and Brando went back and forth a little bit in the final. And it was great. It was really good. I mean, always really good to get a win and to do it in Europe, you know, big tournament.
Tend to pop up on odd occasions, doesn't he, Brando? I mean, he doesn't ski many of the events in the United States or anywhere else outside of Europe, for that matter. But I mean, you know, on select events, Brando does come through a little bit.
I'd say that's a little bit unfair, actually. This year he's been incredible. I mean, like, you look at him, he's got around 4 at 10.25. I've only ever seen him before this year do it like a small handful of times, and now he's doing it basically every time or at least half the time. So he's right there. He's skiing really, really well. Kind of him and Dane Meckler, both of them lefties, big onside turns, figuring out how to turn two in not too bad of a shape and turning the nuts out of three, getting around four. And that's the way to get to the top of some podiums.
And that win at Botas guarantees your spot in another tournament, which you didn't have the opportunity to go in this year, but now you've booked your ticket there, much to the chagrin of the people running it, I guess.
I don't know about that. You're talking about the Masters, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was a nice little bonus. Certainly not the reason I went there, but nice to be able to go and have the option of skiing at the Masters, which I wasn't afforded this year. It's kind of funny. I mean, you know, the qualifying situation is so sort of weird that I don't know. There was four people qualified at the second qualifier this year, and it just so yeah. It's nice to be in, but very much more happy with the win of the tournament, because that lasts forever. And
yeah,
you know, as we saw this year, people spent the whole of May trying to qualify for the Masters. They went out in the first round having run no more than a handful of boys because of inclement weather. So
yeah,
it, you know, wins last forever, and qualifying for the Masters, it affords you another opportunity to win, but I'd rather have the win. So yeah, great, but I was celebrating more to be top of the podium.
All right, then after Botas, the next event was Monaco. Kind of a bit of a strange event in the midweek, right?
No, it was an amazing event midweek. This is exactly what we love. When we're in foreign countries and we're paying hotel bills and rental cars and stuff, we want to be skiing midweek tournaments. It's incredible. Yes, it's intense. We had a head-to-head. I did six rounds at Botas with over the 2 days, including a runoff for the win against Brando, and then we went not 3 days later we're back in for another three rounds.
Kind of, kind of like my soccer team, you know, West Ham United, Premier League in the weekends, European matches during the week, I guess.
West Ham's a football team. I didn't know. What's I don't know what soccer is.
You don't know what soccer is?
It's a football team, I thought, anyway.
Go Hammers.
Yeah, so it was. It's great, you know. That's what I was saying. You know, Greg Desfond and all those guys, the guys from Monaco who put it all on. It was perfect for us. We got to have three events in a week, and what an event it was. You know, you guys weren't broadcasting, which was a shame. But you know, apart from that, it was tip top. And I won that one with a runoff against Nate. My second runoff in 4 or 5 days. I skied a lot of rounds. But managed to come out on top and got a nice jacket for the winner, which was really, really cool. A really nice touch. It was a very nice surprise, and I'm going to treasure that.
And another nice touch was the opportunity to go meet the Prince of Monaco, right?
I didn't actually meet him, but some people did, and it's fantastic. I mean, I don't know, to me, the only royalty I'll ever recognize in my lifetime is the Queen who died, and anyone thereafter, especially old Sausage Fingers. Hope I'm not being disrespectful. Very, very cool he came. I'm sort of being a bit unfair there. It's incredible that the guy turned up when, you know, he's such an important person. His time is so valuable and everyone wants a piece of him, and he turned up to a water ski tournament. So huge congratulations to those guys for making that happen. And I mean, I believe that tournament will be really one of the big ones on the calendar coming in the next few years, because it's in such a cool place. It's a beautiful location. They're all good people. They're extremely hard workers. So I mean, you know, we're grateful for every event, don't get me wrong, but this one felt a little bit special.
Yeah, I was over at Rockbrunn in about 1995 for the World Championships there, and it was certainly a great occasion there. I mean, the site itself is actually run by the Monégasque Water Ski Federation. It used to be the French national site for a while, but they're still continuing to do great things over there in Rockbrunn, Saint-Rogent.
Yeah, I hadn't been there since 2004. A long, long time since I was, you know, it was my first ever international tournament was there in 2003, and I never skied that well there. So really nice to go back and get a win. And I mean, yeah, it was a great week for me. I really love it. I mean, overall, I'm just so happy that Europe, of which I'm a native of, is the center of the water skiing world for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, I've said it all year, but like to have everyone over here from America, all the top guys. You know, it's excellent. It just grows and grows. The field was full. Those first two tournaments, there was not a single skier missing on the men's side. And that, you know, that's really, really amazing.
All right then. So after Monaco, we head across France towards Lacanel. And how did that one turn out for you?
It was good. It was a great event once again. I realized on arrival that I'd cracked my ski throwing my, as Adam Saddlemeyer said, it was a textbook Freddie Winter crash at Boy 4 to get into the final. So I actually skied on a slightly cracked ski in the final at Monaco, which it held out. But it's fine. I mean, you know, my binding came off and I smashed the side of it. So I just didn't want to risk it. So it was a bit of a tough decision before Lacanau. Do I change ski or do I stay on the ski? But I kind of realized, well, I got to get off something that's potentially going to hurt me.
Yeah,
you know, you never want to risk it, especially in a world year. I'm skiing well. I mean, you know, I can always change ski, but if I got a broken leg or something, I can't do anything. So, a bit of a risk, but it worked out. I felt a bit weird the first couple of rounds on that ski. I kind of messed with some settings, and then in the final, put it together. Was in the lead until the last skier, and Nate went and beat me, which, you know, it wasn't a huge surprise. He looked good for the weekend. Had the best score in each round up to that point, and then again in the final. So, I was really happy on a new ski to be able to go and get a big score. My fourth set on it in the final, having had one practice beforehand, and I was really. I mean, I guess, you know, not to sound like a corporate stooge, as my friends accuse me of when I talk about my sponsors, but it's great to have a company behind me like D3 that's able to provide equipment that is replicable. I had never skied on that thing until that. I just didn't have time before the European stuff had started. So, you know, to kind of be able to put the ski on and go, all right, well, actually, I can push this. I can trust this. And
yeah.
It felt good. It continues to feel good. So that's really exciting.
Very similar to San Gervasio a few years ago, where your ski went missing and you had to jump on to another D3 in order to actually be able to ski. Was that right?
Yeah, I was on a different size ski at that time. So I actually had my boots and I put on the 66 and it didn't feel, I mean, it felt good enough to run three at 41, three at 10.25. It did not feel good enough to go any further without having had a few sets on it. I mean, I was happy to do what I managed to do. But then, you know, this one feels like I can do some damage. I need to get used to it. I'm still trying to do that this week between the tournaments. We've got three sets. Got my third one today. So, yeah, we'll see how we go.
All right, then. You mentioned a little bit Adam Stadelmeier a few moments ago. He sustained a shoulder injury. Tell us a little bit about that as far as you know.
Yeah, poor old Adam. He's had a rough time. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of whatever happened a couple of years ago with his band, but, you know, I know Adam, and I know he's not a cheat, and I know that he's a good guy, and... So I've been really happy to see him come back and ski so well. You know, he's been right there, top fours, top four at Lake 38, top four at Botas, right in the mix at all the other events. And then sadly, 5-6 at 10.75 in the final, I believe. Yeah, in the second round at Lacano, kind of pushed on the ski a little bit, dropped his shoulder, hit the wakes, and I think he bust his eardrum and he's got a separated shoulder or something. Apparently the doctor on site said unlikely to have surgery, but yeah, poor chap. I mean, that's rough, but I hope he'll be back. I'm sure he will be.
Yeah.
You know, before too long. Yeah, wishing him well, of course. And he's a good guy. He's a nice guy to have had back, because he's just a positive dude. He, you know, like seeing him around, and he's always an amusing chap to talk to. So yeah, hopefully he'll be back real soon.
All right, then. Obviously scheduled to be here at Kai Athas during this competition, unable to do so because of that injury. So here we are, Western Peloponnesia. We're here at Kai Athas for the pro battle. And, I mean, I've been looking at stuff on Instagram and social media, what have you, and George has been doing a remarkable job trying to get the word out about this tournament, not only to the skiers and the athletes themselves, but also to the general public, because... I mean, you go around town here, and there's no escaping him. I mean, I'm looking at a poster right now with George Hatzis on it, you know. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers.
Well, that's in Zaharo, but I mean, so I had a friend who was in Greece a few weeks ago, not a skier, knows I'm a skier, text me and said, oh, I guess you're going to be in Greece in a few weeks. I said, yeah, I am actually. How do you know? She goes, oh, it's on the radio. So they're advertising on the radio every day, on Greek national radio. So, yeah, George is doing a hell of a job. It's... You know, in the previous episodes of this series, I've mentioned Kai Athas as the kind of one I was almost the most looking forward to, because not just because of how good it was last year, but the potential that we're going to have of it being big. And I mean, I called George a couple of times, you know, just about the logistics or whatever, and in the lead up here, and he told me, he's like, listen, dude, last year was cool. It's nothing compared to this year. You wait. And he's got these plans. I think we're going to have a lot of people out here. I think that your broadcast... I'm really glad you guys are broadcasting, actually, because you guys are the ones that get most of the sort of the ambience, the stuff around the scenes. And I think that, yeah, apparently there's female dancers, male dancers, there's people with drums, there's going to be DJs, there's going to be a Wrangler with a DJ booth in it. You guys are broadcasting from VW Bus. This is all quite exciting, right? And, you know... George is an ambitious man, and he wants it to be the biggest event in the world. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of events that claim to be the biggest in the world for different reasons. Some have history, you know, some have money, some have, you know, I mean, whatever it is, like, you know, prestige, what, you know, like the for the skiers, part of it is the atmosphere, and Moomba can't be rivaled for that, because there's always going to be more people there than anywhere else. But I think
because the festival that's nearby.
Yeah, I mean, Moomba is... I mean, that was the most fun I've had skiing in a tournament maybe ever. Was the final this March? Just, you know, getting the crowd going, like, in front of all these people. But I have a feeling that it's going to be something, you know, not to the same number of people, but in terms of the people that are really interested in the skiing. I mean, there's going to be a big chunk of people sitting here watching us, wanting us to do well. And I'm I'm really, really, really excited for this weekend. I mean, it's going to be something special.
And you know, strangers to this part of the world as well. So I mean, you can vouch for the likes of George Hatzis and his compadres here in supporting them for their endeavours. I mean, you ski out in Portaheli for many, many years.
I'll be there in 2.5 weeks' time. Actually, I'm coming back.
You're coming back.
Yeah, might have a few beers, and you know, just I'm actually bringing some friends. I'm going to do some skiing and kind of. Yeah, it's actually during the Europeans, I'll be here just doing something I enjoy more than skiing the European Championships.
I'm probably catching up a little bit on the coverage, you know, during the night time if you got a little bit of time.
Zero chance.
No, okay. Well, it would be on YouTube. All that coverage will be there, you know. So I mean,
listen. I wish you guys the best. I hope it's a great tournament. The Luzeris will and you know Sanjurasi will put on a phenomenal event. But no, this is the future of the sport. The pro skiing is the future of the sport, and you know what George is doing, and what we've seen at Lacano, what we've seen at Monaco and Botas. That's what's going to grow the sport. And European Championships are you know, in my opinion, they're in the past. That's why I choose to not go, because you know I can go and wherever I come in the European Championships is going to be below anything I'm going to do here. So no, I'm going to be doing something different.
All right. Within the last week, TWBC released the unknown sport of water skiing, and apparently your appearances and your quotes and witticisms in that documentary have yielded quite a bit of feedback from a whole bunch of our supporters out there, and it's been played over 30,000 times in the last week since it was released. You know, so I mean, it's gathered quite a bit of a following there, Freddie.
Yeah, well, I actually haven't watched it. I saw a sort of rough cut early this year, but I haven't seen it. I feel I'm almost. It's quite intense these couple of weeks, right? I mean, you're going from event to event to event. You know, it's fairly overwhelming. So I'm gonna get outside of water skiing for a minute and actually sit and watch it and enjoy it instead of watching it in a hotel room and then go. You know, after being with all my fellow pros and skiing all day and then you know waiting till the next day to do the exact same thing. So I'm gonna wait. I haven't seen the finished version. I've heard it's amazing, and I think you know 30,000 views. Okay, that's a huge number, but it's also not. It's not what it needs to be. That film. Deserves from what I saw of it. I mean, it deserves to be seen by millions of people. And you know, it's not an original thing to say, but you guys at TWBC are doing the biggest and best stuff in the sport. The you know, it's the most. You guys, in my opinion, are by far the most important people in the sport, because you're giving the sport a future compared to any other entity, individual person, what you know, governing body, whatever. This is a document for the sport that. Will last forever and will hopefully bring more people into it. And I think not just that, but like, you know, ultimately what I think everyone believes is that the sport needs a Drive to Survive style series throughout the year. And this is a blueprint, a proof of concept that can be bought in.
I mean, they're coming out left, right, and center right now. I mean, there's Drive to Survive. There's that golf one on Netflix. There's the Tour de France. Yeah. They're all trying to compete for that space now.
Well, and here's my view on it. I watched some of the tennis one. I watched all the golf one. I watched all the Drive to Survives. And my view is actually we're actually almost better set up than a lot of the sport. The tennis one and the golf one, they're not as good because there's no narrative. It's hard when you're focusing on four majors. Or whatever it is in golf, I don't know, it's four in tennis, then you don't get like a sort of build up. The reason that tennis is a great sport to watch is you have a whole, Wimbledon's happening right now, you have a whole 2 week tournament, you see the flow throughout the 2 weeks, doesn't come across in one episode, right? But, you know, Drive to Survive, which I think is the most successful, you know, the original and the best, you can feel the build up from the start of the season to the end of the season. And that's what we have. We have a tour that starts, you know, in the early part of the year, and it ends at the end. There's a point system that goes all the way through. There's a beginning, middle, and end. You know, and that's why I think the sport needs to be, it needs to grow to not be about three big tournaments, which it kind of has been for, you know, for many years. It's been about Moomba and then the Masters a few months later, and then the World Championships are happening that year. But that's not a good. You don't want people to watch three tournaments, otherwise, you know, water skiing will never get bigger. Yeah. Every successful sport has a narrative throughout a season. And we are not a successful sport we're getting more successful, but we're not a successful sport. So we need to have a whole season narrative so people watch all of the tournaments, get excited about the narrative about, well, who's moving up the leaderboard, who's moving down, and then who's, you know, getting going to be winning the whole tour at the end.
And, you know, a lot of people would argue is that in Formula One, there wouldn't be a race in Vegas if it wasn't for Netflix.
Well, that's for certain. I mean, I think that there will at some point be a bit of a, you know, situation where you know, there's an oversaturation and people get a bit kind of bored of these things. But, you know, just because that might happen doesn't mean we shouldn't try and get this this thing going. And, I think we've certainly got the characters. My God, we've got some strange people in this sport. And very interesting people that would make, you know, for great TV, and I think people would want to watch it. Not to mention we have the angle of, like, you know, it's not all glitz and glamour. It's not all sort of, you know, yachts in Monaco. It's like, well, you know, we're all sort of sharing cars and hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that adds to it. That's actually part of the charm, as opposed to, you know, something that's going to make it look like we're really B-League. Yeah, I think that's got to be a big aim. We just need to find the funding. But of course, when you have a proof of concept like this CWC movie, which, you know, by all accounts is just incredible, we have that, and someone can see that, and we'll be able to take that to people and bring something bigger into the sport.
You spoke a few moments ago about the governing body and everything, and for a good amount of time this season, you'd been under. A little bit of a double secret probation type deal going on, but now we've gotten past that point in the season date wise. So, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was funny earlier this year. You know, you interviewed me, and I had to be extremely careful about what I said because, you know, there was scrutiny on me. In some ways, a sort of Damocles. The Federation put me on. They tried to ban me from the sport last year. I've heard that from the horse's mouth. When they realized they couldn't do that, there was a, cause I had to get a lawyer. I had to hire a lawyer because, you know, this was after, of course, the Masters incident, which, you know, even the judges involved at the time have told me that they couldn't believe that it went as far as it did. So I had to hire a lawyer and, you know, the Federation realized that they probably couldn't act in the way that they initially thought they might. You know, a lot of money was spent, to allow for a, you know, sanity to break out. And so here I am. It's 13 months after the Masters incident, which, you know, frankly, was the overreaction to it was. Quite amazing in my opinion. In the end they put me on a sort of a year-long probation, which I'm not quite sure what that means. You know, I play by the rules anyway, I wanted to be a little bit careful about what I said because I think that I'm fairly unpopular with some of those people. Here I am, and I'm good, and I'm off probation.
Excellent stuff, and we certainly wish you the best of luck for this competition coming up, the Caiaphas Pro Battle. The coverage will start this weekend. More details on the TWBC YouTube channel. Certainly wishing you the best of luck. Any parting comments before we round off this preview?
No, very, very, just very happy to see you, Tony, and see all the gang here. I'm excited to have a great, great event here. I hope people watch this event because I think we're going to see some really unusual stuff happening. We're going to see some crowds which you don't really see, like DJs on the dock, people on the dock dancing. I think that actually for you guys, it's going to be, you'll be more armed for it. We weren't ready for it as the skiers last year, but you guys will be ready to kind of, after seeing what happened last year, you'll be able to see, like, okay, well, here's what going to be where the DJs are. Here's going to be all the people are dancing. Like, you'll be able to get more of that atmosphere, which is going to be exciting.
We're already making moves so far as our staging of our equipment to accommodate the EDM music and the saxophonist and all of that stuff.
You'll just need some directional mics so that all the dancing and all the music doesn't come in like when you're commentating, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it just adds to it, doesn't it? I mean, it just adds to the atmosphere, you know. And this is where the sport needs to go.
100%. I mean, every event we have is amazing, but when you have an atmosphere, which I believe it's going to be like this year, if it's anything like last year, then it adds to this. It adds for the skiers, it adds for the spectators. It's going to be special, and you know, what a beautiful place to have it.
All right, then, and this has been the latest episode of On Tour with Freddie Winter here on the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and thank you once again for your support. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.